Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, God Our Deliverer. God Our Deliverer. And we're going to see in these verses of scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, as we do our best to expound these scriptures, but we're going to see the hand of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God, and also the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God had given Paul to narrate this, to write this epistle to this young brother in the Lord, young Timothy. He was a brand new pastor, and he had a whole lot of responsibility. But by the grace of God, Paul was right by his side, instructing him and pouring into his life. And this is what we need to discover or rediscover in our lives as well, is that learn how to pour your life into someone. Can I get an amen? And raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's always about building up, never to tear down. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to look at verses 6 through 11, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us tonight. And so let's read verse 6 through 11. And it reads, "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." Verse 10. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine," meaning teaching, "manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, look at this, perseverance," key word there. Also, verse 11, "persecutions, afflictions," what happens to me at Antioch, in Iconium, at Lystra, "what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me." Amen. This is the good news. This is why the Bible's called the good news, is because no matter what predicament we find ourselves in this life, and this life can always have entanglements, but God is the deliverer. Can I get an amen? God will always set us free. God will, he'll make a way for you and I. Why? Because he came to die for the church. He came to die for you. And so let's look at this verse. Verse 6. "For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts." Now, we have to look at the time that this was written. Now, once again, in Ephesus, that this was a young church, and no different than our day and time where new believers come into the body of Christ. Can I get amen? Well, one of the things that was lacking here was wisdom and understanding and discipleship. Discipleship is very critical. And so here are these women. The Bible mentions that they get saved, they come into the fellowship of Christ, but yet they still were carrying a lot of characteristics of their unsaved life. Now, they're filled with joy, they know that they're saved, but there's some traits there that they still have to learn. In other words, when we get saved, there are things that we have to unlearn and then relearn. Can I get an amen? And so these women that the Bible is referring to, they were gullible. In other words, these religious leaders at the time, they were wolves in sheep's clothing. And so what they did was they came into the church and they would look like they were, you know, very intellectual,
very prominent in society, but they came in with an alternative motive. And that motive was, is to look and to scheme and to find the weak ones that God had just recently saved. And these, that's why it's called gullible. They were gullible only because they had no wisdom and knowledge. And so when you start obtaining knowledge and wisdom, you won't make those kind of mistakes. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, because of their cultural background, women in the Ephesian church had no formal religious training. They just didn't. They just got saved, and they were brand new in Christ. They enjoyed their freedom to study Christian truths, but their eagerness to learn made them a target for false teachers. And so these false teachers would creep in, and they only had one thing in mind. They had an alternative agenda. And what was that agenda for? To destroy the things of God, and also so that they can fulfill their ungodly needs. Now, there's legitimate needs, but they were ungodly, because we're going to see what they went in. They went in, they were looking for women that were weak in their faith, yet believers. And some of them still carried some of the traits of their past, because that's why it says loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now, one of the things that I want to encourage, and hopefully this message goes out, is young Christian women that get saved, sometimes in their youth, young adult, but I'm talking, it doesn't matter what age they got saved, but when they get saved, they become brand new believers. Can I get an amen? And so when they're brand new, this is where the church needs to step in, and the sisters, I like to call them mothers in Zion, that they would pull them in and start discipling them. Can I get an amen? And teaching them the things of God, teaching them the holy things of God, so that they don't have to continue in the past traits before they got saved. And this is critical, especially in a new believer's life. And so at this time in history, there were almost no opportunities for women to be employed. You got to remember, they were considered second class during this time. And men were the prominent people in society during this time. And so there was really rare opportunities for them to excel, especially in the church. And also at the church of Ephesus, they had a significantly large group of widows. Okay, for whatever reason, their husbands had passed on. And so here they are, single, were married once, or maybe they were abandoned. Maybe their husbands put them away. We don't know the reason. It just says that there were widows. And there was a large group of them. And thus, there were many women who may not have been fully occupied during the day. And they became targets for false teachers. And this is why we have to be careful. Amen? Yeah. And this is why we need to raise up the saints of God in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You have to teach them in love. You can't bring a rod of correction. You got to bring them up and be gentle. Can I get an amen? Case in point, the first church that I attended, it was an apostolic church. And, you know, there it was very strict. And the women had to wear dresses that went past their ankles and no makeup and what have you, right? And no jewelry and all these things. And then two young sisters, they just got saved. And they were seen in, and I believe it was like a Target type of store. And one of the mothers in Zion, they had no wisdom and grace, and rebuked them for wearing pants. You know what that did? It caused them to flee. They left the faith, and it's crushing. And this is why we have to be very careful of how you handle, especially young believers. Can I get an amen? I mean, you can't just put a stake, like for instance, your little child. Precious little child, you can't give him meat. He'll choke on it. You got to give him milk. Can I get an amen? And this is how we have to entreat one another. Now, look at this in Titus right up here. Well, let's look at, for this sort, all those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. We read that. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Number 8, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. Now we're talking about false teachers. The whole theme in this whole chapter and the prior chapter was about false teachers that came into the church. They had corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So what is God saying here? No matter what their agenda is, God's going to pull the covers. And he is going to let, in any congregation, he's going to point out those who are there for an alternative agenda. They're not there for Christ. They're not there for the body of Christ. They're not there for the saints. They're not there to serve. They're there for a whole dark purpose. And this is why God says, they progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now look at this. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And he was telling us today that Timothy was following the ways of God, that he was adhering to instruction. He never challenged Paul. He received everything that Paul the apostle was teaching him and raising him up. So it says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. That's the key for us in our walk with Christ. Can I get amen? We persevere through trials and tribulations. And then in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So now, as we now focus on this first passage in verse 6, Titus also writes about this. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. We just read that in Timothy, huh? Why is it mentioned twice? Because this was a very, very important situation. Something that God is emphasizing tonight is that we have to look back to look ahead. And this was a problem then, and I've seen this with my own eyes. The problem still exists today. Can I get amen? And so this is why we have to have each other's heart and back. Can I get an amen? We need to cover one another, because there's wolves that come in. There's schemers that come in. And this is why those of you that are living singly right now, you have to guard your heart. Can I get an amen? Don't get caught up in a trap, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. All they want to do is penetrate your wall of protection, which is your faith in Christ. And once they penetrate that, I'm telling you, sin is sin. Sin is sin. And so, also in Titus, for at that time, we too were foolish, disobedient, misled, enslaved to all sorts of desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Now, this was our BC character. Can I get amen? That's why it says, for at one time, we too were foolish. But aren't you so blessed, hallelujah, that God has done something miraculous in our hearts? He has driven out those black things, those dark things, and he's filled it with light and his love and his mercy and his grace. That is now operating in us as believers. Can I get amen? Man, I'm so blessed to be saved today. Aren't you so blessed? Some of us, if we were still in our living in our unsavior, I don't think we would have, to me personally, I don't think I would be here today. Everything that I was involved in the past. I don't think my flesh would have endured all the things that I was doing to it at that time. But by the grace of God, his mercy came. His mercy came. Can I get amen? Amen. And he set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Now, even, I believe I wrote this down here, Jude, look at Jude. Jude even testifies about this. So we're building precept upon precept. Can I get an amen? So this is just not a one-time scripture. It's mentioned several times, but look at in Jude 1:4. For certain men have crept in among you unnoticed, ungodly ones who were designated long ago for condemnation. What? Designated. Did you catch what God just said? I mean, these people are corrupt minds. And it's almost like they were, nothing's ever going to change with them. They were designated to go in there to cause havoc. That lets us know what kind of spirit they're under. Can I get an amen? You remember the message we spoke on Sunday? The Leviathan spirit. Wow. Look at this. They turn the grace of our God into a license for immorality and to deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, no church is perfect. Can I get an amen? No church is perfect. But unfortunately, even the day that we live in, unperfected people come in. What do I mean by unperfected? In other words, the word of God doesn't pertain to them. They don't strive for perfection. And so they come in with their own motive, and they cause havoc in the body of Christ. This is why we have to always be on alert. Can I get amen? Be praying and fasting. These women who had the great sense to be saved, yet why does the word of God say during this time they were gullible? Because maybe of all the trials and tribulations that they went through. And then when you get saved, unfortunately, God doesn't remove our past memories. Can I get amen? They're still there. And so this is why we need to equip ourselves and be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and have the word of God hidden in our hearts. Now, the expression work that they work their way into people's homes, saints, indicates the insidious methods of the false teachers. They targeted vulnerable women. Then with all their intellectual sounding talk, the false teachers captivated them and won their confidence. And that's what they did. And I'm not going to blast anyone over this pulpit, but I've seen it operate right before me. And those things happen. They'll go in there, and all they have on their mind is just contrary what God says to do. We've seen this. I've seen this in three churches that I was involved in. It's everywhere. It's a plague. And we talked about it Sunday morning. It's that Leviathan spirit that comes in, and it causes havoc. These women were especially vulnerable because they were burdened with guilt of sin, that in their consciousness were laden with guilt and controlled by many desires, their personal appetites and aspirations and remnants from their pagan days. You got to remember, when they got saved, they were pagan worshipers. And this is what this is referring to, the women during this time. You got to remember, Ephesus was a huge commercial city, where many traders would come in. I'm talking about those with cargo ships that would come in, almost like a San Diego port. And so there were so many things going on there. And they were strong as steel caused. They would be so many problems and probably leading to their overwhelmed consciousness. And so maybe a lot of them during this time, and this is why God is mentioning it, is they maybe didn't have established a prayer life yet. And they just got saved. And so their weakness combined with their guilt made them easy targets for the cures that the false teachers brought. And Paul warned Timothy to watch out for men who would take advantage of these women. Can I get an amen? So let's move on to verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, this is what I find that's very difficult in the days that we live in today, as well as during the times of Timothy, is when you hear truth, now you're challenged to walk in the truth and to apply the truth. Can I get an amen? Okay, well, Timothy is... In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul wrote this down, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what's blocking that? Well, since these women were forever following these new teachings that these false teachers came in, making them easy targets for the false teachers, but without basic knowledge of the faith that leads to repentance and forgiveness of their sins, these women would only get confused and never able to recognize and understand the truth. And so this was the problem, is they heard truth, but they never understood it, and they never knew how to apply it. So churches that have little or no biblical theological content in their teaching program fall right into this error. People who attend this kind of church are easy targets for false teachers. The Word of God has to be the focal point. Can I get an amen? There's nothing wrong with wonderful programs, but if that's the emphasis and the Word of God is neglected, then this is what we're going to have. We're going to have men and women who love the Lord, but they're lacking wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God. And so, saints, this is the crowning feature of this powerful sketch of those, the Bible we just read, silly women whose thoughts are busied by about religion and without their affections being reached or their principles being influenced by it. They're always beating around basically the bush, meaning I hear it, but yet it doesn't make sense to me. And we've seen this in our lifetime. And as a young Christian, I fell right into that category myself. So I'm no different. We're no different. We've all made mistakes in our walk. Can I get an amen? But God in his love corrects us. That's what I love about the Lord. He corrects us. There are always, their own selfish indications and not the grace of God continue to be a motive power within them. So this is something that, praise God, for the past 2,000 years, the Word of God, we now see is the only thing that can change our nature. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Because here's the thing, is Timothy emphasized about sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? That means sound teaching of the Word of God. And we look back at this scripture in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Look at this. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So we are to what? Preach the word, be ready in season, and what? Out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. This is what we're called to do, is to raise up, is to teach. And sometimes, I know it's the most difficult thing as leaders, even as a pastor, as the Word of God says, sometimes you have to give a rebuke when there's when something's out of order. We can't be the kind of people that just sees things and we sweep it under the carpet. Because you know why? God will just pull it right underneath and expose it again. And so, this is what was needed for these women that we're talking about in 2 Timothy. And I'm going to go on to believe that probably many of them eventually got the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding. Can I get amen? I'm always going to be the person that's going to hope for the best and not the worst. That God's going to do something miraculous. But he was exposing these false teachers that came in. And a lot of these good-hearted women that the Bible's talking about, they just still had those old traits. And it's easy to trigger those things that are lying still in there. And so God was exposing these false teachers. And so look at verse 3 here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. How many of you are so blessed to know that God has given us an assignment? And you know what that assignment is? To fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah. Some of you came from many churches, praise God, but something that's irrevocable, and you know what that is? The call in your life. That's right. The Bible is very clear that when God calls you, it's without what? He doesn't repent no more. Oh, wow, I made a mistake. Through all your faults and failures, his hand is still upon you. And he's going to see you through. He's going to accomplish those things that he started in you. Can I get an amen? What he started in you, he will complete. Thank you, God. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter, you know, the situations that happen in our life, relationships, you know, sometimes disease will come. You know, all these things that we're challenged here on earth. I'm here to let you know tonight that what God, he has called you, he's going to complete his assignment in you. Can I get an amen? Before you check out, before you go home, he is going to complete his will that he's so meticulously laid out for you. His plan will not fail. Can I get amen? And we all know that sometimes it's difficult. The walk with him is difficult sometimes. But I'm so blessed that he doesn't give up on us. Aren't you so blessed he don't give up on you? That's right. So we are to fulfill God's ministry. It is possible to be a perpetual student and never graduate to accepting the truth and putting it into practice. And this is what Paul was referring to as he wrote this letter to Timothy. But honest seekers are true students, and they look for answers. And when they find them, they continue in their study and application of the truth. This is why I'm so blessed. Those who come out on book, chapter, and verse on Wednesday night, you know why? It's because God put that desire in you, so that you can grow in your faith. How many love to grow in their faith? Come on. That's right. And so yesterday is what? Gone. Tomorrow's not here. He gives us one day at a time. And today we are expanding our faith tonight to know that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. So the accumulation of seminars and classes and Bible studies and books without specific application in our daily lives can easily become our own version of what Paul was describing here. Remembering this as your study, God's study word. Can I? It's the word of God that doesn't change. Programs change left and right, but God's word never changes. Seek to find God's truth and will for your life, my life. Can I get an amen? So now Paul shifts. He shifts now to what took place almost 1,000 generations before Christ. And this is right here. He talks about now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. He's not talking about the gullible women. He's talking about the false teachers that crept in to entice them to sin. And so look at this. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And so we may see something that's so atrocious in church, in our lives, maybe experiences in other fellowships that you attended, but nothing goes unpunished. It doesn't. You may get away for it for a while, but then God will bring it to light, and he'll call you on it. He'll pull the rug from underneath you, and he'll expose you for what you are. And man, that's not a place you want to be. Can I get amen? Amen. And so they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all. Saints, according to the Jewish teachings, Jannes and Jambres were two of the magicians who counterfeited Moses' miracles before Pharaoh. You remember those two guys that threw down their staff and it became a snake? Okay, that was done through a satanic way. And then when Moses threw down his staff, what did it do? It gobbled them up. Well, let's be reminded tonight. In Exodus, look at this. But Pharaoh also calls the wise men and the sorcerers. Notice the sorcerers, those who were involved in the occult, the mystic minds, the mystical ones. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in the like manner their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed them up. Amen? We know that. We've seen the story played out. But why is Timothy bringing this up that was written by Paul, because he's trying to let us know that what happened then still continues during Timothy's time. And guess what? Nothing's changed 2,000 years later. There's still people that come in with corrupt minds. And they come in and they try to manipulate. And they try to connive. And God will call them out, just like it says here. Now, Paul, he explained that just as Moses exposed and defeated them in Exodus, God would overthrow the false teachers who were plaguing the Ephesian church. We know that. But look what it says here in Exodus. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "Hey, this is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. So these enchanters did all that they could. But man, God put them on check, didn't he? This is why we can't fool God. Can I get an amen? Listen, if you're operating in a pure heart that serves the Lord, that loves God, and you love God, you love your family, you love your children, your grandchildren, you love everything what God has done for you, you're on the right track. Can I get an amen? That's what God wants us to do, is to love one another unconditionally. Oh, yeah, I know that's the toughest thing. You know why? Because we're very sinful. But God says, die to self. Learn to love your brother and sister. Can I get amen? Amen. Now, saints, while the false teachers' threat to the church was very real, both across the Roman world and in our world today, hence Paul's advice about dealing with them in this and many other letters, the threat really never was to be fatal to the gospel. Mm-mm. Do you know that the gospel could never be destroyed? Can I get an amen? So as we just read, Jannes and Jambres' fake power was eventually revealed by God's power through Moses. So what fools they are would eventually become clear to everyone. And so whatever the temporary success of false teachers, eventually they would be completely humiliated. Because look what we read in the next chapter. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of their boils, for the boils were on the magicians and also on the Egyptians. Wow. In other words, you know what they did? They cursed their own selves. And this is why, man, don't come against God's people. Don't come against God. If you have an ought, take it to the Lord. Don't tell, man, just humble yourself. Can I get an amen? These folks were just mocking God. And boils came right on them. Oh, God help us. So saints, Paul did not specify what would happen. Perhaps it would not be until Christ's return. Or perhaps God would ensure that discerning believers will see through the deception when these false teachers would arrive. And so always be on guard. Can I get amen? Now, let's move on to the next verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. Now, after Paul had advised, had exhorted Timothy, now he's telling us that Timothy never fell for any of those traps. Can I get amen? And let our testimony be no different. Can I get amen? That we didn't fall into these traps, that the deceiver would come and try to destroy our walk, to try to destroy your faith. Because we serve a mighty God, an awesome God. But you have carefully followed my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that God is with you? He's not against you. He will always be with you. He will always lead you and guide you. And so Paul would always strongly denounce these false teachers and their foolishness. Paul turned his attention always back to Timothy, who could look at Paul as an example of living out the opposite characteristics that were described about these false teachers. Look at what it says here in Ephesians. Therefore, for you and I, no differently than how Paul exhorted the church in Ephesus and to Timothy, but you and I, therefore, be imitators of God. Can I get amen? As dear children. This is what God calls us, children. Aren't you so blessed to be a child of God? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Aren't you so blessed? Listen, you know what that means? Is when you are in the presence of other people, whether you're at home, whether you're in ministry, whether you're visiting or someone's visiting you, that the aroma that they should sense and taste and smell is the anointing of God upon your life. Can I get an amen? So that people will gravitate to you and not run from you. I remember back in the day, a wonderful teacher of God. She went on to be with the Lord. Her name was Dr. Loretta Gonzalez. And she taught a deliverance class at North Park. And there were things that I never knew about how the demons operated and how they can manipulate and how they could tear down a church. One thing about this woman, you could sit right next to her. She was sitting right here, and you can feel the Holy Ghost on her. She was dripping with the anointing. Her presence, just her presence, as soon as she walked in, man, she brought the presence of God. And I didn't know this about her, but she would fast and pray on a weekly basis. And she would be just a woman of God in the Word of God. And she would love to teach the saints. And so I have a fond memory of her. And I always wanted to just be in that class, man, because I'm telling you, the anointing would come. And man, you would just feel God's presence. And as she spoke, everything came alive because of the anointing. See, you could hear God's word and read God's word, but man, when you're under the anointing, oh my gosh, your ears open up and your eyes see things that God is saying to you. It takes you to another dimension with him. He takes you to another level with him. And he does it with all his children that want to spend that quality time with him. And so, I'd rather have a sweet smelling aroma. Can I get amen? Or are you kind of person that walks up to a door and they see you coming? Close the blinds and muzzle the dog. And don't answer the doorbell. Come on, you're not like that, are you? Praise God. Back in the day, I was one of those guys. That's right. You didn't want me at your door. This is, you know what's so blessed? Is you precious people tonight, I'm so blessed that you never saw my BC years. You've heard of it. I've testified about a few things, but you never saw my, yeah, and guess what? Neither did my wife. She didn't see 1 second. When God put us together, we were already saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Can I get amen? So what God puts together, let no man put us under. Can I get amen? And I had to wait 10 years. Why did God, I mean, I'm not saying he will do it to any of you, but for me, it took 10 years before he would bring a flower from his garden to present it to me. You know what he had to teach me? He had to teach me how to love him first before I can love another. And it took 10 years that he saw that I was ready. You know why? Because I was sold out to him. All that mattered to me was watching souls get saved, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. That was my heart's desire. And after he saw me, laboring in love because I loved him. Then he says, now it's time for me to bless you. See, we want blessings right away. We want it now. No, God is saying, hold on. Hold on. Your blessings are coming. Just keep loving him and praising him and glorifying him and serve him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we are to be what? Intimidators of God. Imitators, meaning be like him. You remember that old commercial, Be Like Mikey? Remember that one? No, we are to be like Jesus. Can I get an amen? Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself as an offering, a sweet smelling aroma unto God. Look at this. Now, this is what he says. Okay, I need you to walk in my ways. But look what he says to these folks. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for what? He's talking to us because we are the saints of God. Can I get amen? We're not unbelievers. Unbelievers walk in that way. They toil in that all day long. They wrestle in the mud every day. They toil in it. They love it. You ever took a pig out of the mud and took it home and bathed it in buttermilk and then put a bow on him? Open the front door. Wham! It goes right back into that mud pit. Well, that's what unbelievers do. They can't help it because they're unregenerated. They're not saved, so their mind is to do the things of their nature, which is very sinful. This is why Paul was writing to the Ephesians church and to Timothy. For us now, and this is what happened to these women, that they should not walk in this anymore. Why? Because they are now the saints of God. We are the saints of God. Can I get amen? So now that when we see this, we say, I don't want to walk in that old way anymore. That just pleased my flesh for a moment. And we don't want to bring a reproach to the name of the Lord. Can I get amen? As fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather given of thanks. And that's what I believe God is saying to us, to remind us that we need to be a people that have a heart of thanksgiving. Be thankful for everything that God is doing in your life. Be thankful for the trials that you just came out of. And also be thankful if he's allowing you to go through a new one. Oh, we don't like that one, huh? Oh, no. No, I don't want to go through that. Sometimes we do. Because what is he doing? He's reproving. He's building character in us. It's about learning the ways of God. Learning how to handle those things when they come our way. And look what it says here in verse 5. For this you know that... Oh, now he's letting us know. Now, here's the grace of God. I need you to understand this. We are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. And we are heaven bound and a hell to shun, right? But who is he speaking to? For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. People get the wrong connotation you mean God can send me to hell after he saved me? The Bible says we are sealed until the day of redemption. Can I get amen? So the blood has covered us once and for all. But he's just saying that these folks that are unsaved, because a saved person, let me just say this. Yeah, there are sometimes a backslider that go out. But here's one thing that I've seen with backsliders. He calls them and he reels them back in. And they repent before him and they cry out. And God cleanses them and washes them and then continues them on their path. Amen. Yeah. But these folks who practice and remain in that's an unbeliever. That's right. Ask yourself this, as a believer, how many times have we done things that are contrary to the word? How many of us have fell into some type of sin? Did he abandon us? No. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't snap us out like a roach and say, I'm done with you. Bam. I'm moving on to this one to see what I can find. That's not how God looks at us. He went to the cross for us. He died for us. We are now adopted sons and daughters. We have a covenant with him now. And what I've read, he doesn't break his covenant. Can I get an amen? We can divorce one another all day long in this world, but he won't divorce you. Why? The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we are sealed until the day of redemption. He has purchased us with his blood. And so always remember this. If you never heard this before, when God looks down, hallelujah, from glory, and he looks down on this earth that we still have to reside until he comes for us, guess what he sees? A lot of us go, man. And we have that fearful attitude, meaning I'm scared of God. No, the fear of God means to reverence him, that he is God and we are not. But what does he see when he sees us down here? Does he see every single sin that we do and then he holds it against us? No, you know what he sees? He sees the blood. Hallelujah, that covered our sins.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Some of you have to get out of that mindset, man, I'm not worthy enough. No, we're not worthy. Oh, I'm not good enough. No, we're not good enough. But it's not what we do, it's what he has done for us. Can I get an amen? It's what he has done for us. Always refer it back to the cross. He died for those ugly, wicked things that I do. And I did. Aren't you so blessed and all that? Man, I've heard some preachers, man, they'll send a believer to hell. Like, what? Wait a minute. So in other words, God cannot keep you? He's looking for every mistake so he can toss you back in? No, that's not the kind of God we serve. He's a God. Hallelujah. From everlasting to everlasting. He is the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he says he's loved us with an everlasting love, if he said in the book of John, all that the Father gives me, I won't lose one, and I will raise them up in the last day, he says, they haven't chosen me, but I chose them, man, you better just be thankful. Say, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, because I don't deserve this great salvation, but you chose me anyhow. Thank you, God. He didn't choose us on merit. He chose us through his mercy. Because you know as well as I, we don't deserve this great salvation. Can I get an amen? So he's talking about these unbelievers that just, because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. In the book of Romans, it says that we weren't appointed unto what? He's not talking about us, but he's reminding us that these folks who are unregenerated will fall into that pit. This is why God is equipping you and I to preach to them, to exhort them, to hopefully that they will turn from their ways, to repent before a holy God. Can I get amen? So Timothy had been privileged to hear Paul teach many times to many audiences on a variety of topics. Paul's teaching would be of no value if he did not impact his life. But it did. As of the following characteristics. Aren't you so blessed that Paul was one of the greatest examples? Look at this. And know this, knowing the time. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Did you know that the return of Jesus Christ is closer than ever now? Okay, maybe I am the only one that thinks that. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen? Thank you, God. And let us now, this is how he was exhorting Timothy. Let us now walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Put on the Lord. When you put him on, I'm telling you, you will walk the abundant life. Because he has given us the abundant life. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for what? The flesh to fulfill its lust. Our flesh wants to sin all day long. But don't give provision for it. Amen. Why? Because Timothy knew about Paul and how he lived. Paul was a great example after he got converted. He went through persecution. Because this is what it says in verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, what happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. You know what Paul went through? How many know what Paul went through? And we're going to close with this. This man went through fierce persecution. He went through trials that you and I, we would call uncle the first trial that would come. We would cry out, uncle. Remember when we used to wrestle back in the day and say uncle? We would cry uncle as soon as one of these trials would come. We'd want to throw in the towel. But look what it says here. Are they all ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. Look at this, in stripes, above measure, in prisons. More. He wrote the majority of the epistles in prison. He was chained up to a prisoner writing the gospel. And it was not a Donovan prison. It didn't have running. It didn't have all the amenities that these prisons have today. They have big screen TVs. Hot and cold running water. They have three meals a day. Not him. Those prisons were rat infested. And they couldn't just get up and go to the bathroom. A lot of them probably just had to make way right where they were. In stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. He saw people die before him. Wow. Look at this. Far from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one, meaning he was beaten. And what was he beaten with? Right up here. Look at this. Three times I was beaten with rods. These are steel bars. Bam. Bam. I'm telling you, if we had to endure one of these, we'd throw in the towel. We'd run. We'd go, oh no. This is too hard for me. I'm going back in the world. Eat popcorn on the couch. Look at this. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen turned against him. In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. This is what the emphasis is on tonight in Timothy. False teachers that would come in and spew out lies and try to connive. And try to get you to rebel from God. Look at this. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. This is what he had to endure so that we can read the scriptures tonight written by him. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the church. It didn't matter. He died to self. He goes, I'm doing this because he saw 2,000 years later, he saw you and I. God allowed him to see us that would adhere to the word of God. Look at this. My deep concern for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Wow. How many of us can say that? That we can boast about our infirmity? We're always saying, oh God, deliver me right now. Oh God, help me. But can we say, to God be the glory? Nevertheless, not I, but Christ who lives in me. This is what God is saying to us tonight. No matter what you're going through, give him the praise, glory, and honor. Can I get an amen? Things may not go your way. But give God the glory. Give him the praise. Why? Because the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Man, he was running from all kinds of people. And look what they did here in the book of Acts. And then we're going to close. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against me, Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from the region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit when they saw him. You know why? You know why they were so filled with joy? Because they knew he had escaped from death. This is why when we see each other, let me just say it like this. When we greet one another, whether it's Wednesday night, whether it's Sunday morning, or interacting with one another, just know this. Just know this one thing, saints. That God has saved us from death. And we are alive now unto God. How many perils did we have to go through, even be in our BC years? God still saved us from that mess, didn't he? Some of us should have been dead. And yet, his hand of mercy and grace is upon us. This is why we need to look at each other through the eyes of Christ. Is I'm looking at you, brother. I'm looking at you, sister. The same way God forgave me, he forgave you too. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? There's none. And so, one of the things when we do find ourselves in situations that you have no control over, and how many have been there before? No control over. We're kind of like just in the hands of a living God, saying, God, be merciful to me. Help me through this. And I close with this scripture right here. It is, we're going to just bounce a few ahead. Right here. Look at this. And then we close. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. They were prisoners. They were tied to one another. And they didn't have running showers. Come on. Just imagine the scene there. Rat infested. Sores probably from not moving around. Just, they didn't have the amenities, as I mentioned, like a Donovan's prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing hymns to God. How can you sing a song in prison? You're tied up, not knowing whether you're going to live the next day. Look at this. And the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners were listening. There were other people chained up. They were in bondage to the Roman tyranny. And yet, chained up, they were singing unto God. Look at this. Singing, the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, if that's not the power of God, then I don't know what is. I'm here to let you know, no matter what sometimes God allows us to go through, and we are just basically useless as far as I can't fix this. I can't go any further. I don't know how to work this out. But God does. And so, I've prayed this prayer for many people throughout my walk, and it never changes, is praise will see you through. When you praise God in your affliction, when you praise God in your trial, when you praise God in your infirmity, God will get all the glory. Hallelujah. And then he will supernaturally touch you and raise you up. And God will remove the affliction. Why? Because you've learned a little something. And you know what that little something is? Is that He is worthy of all of our praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to be a child of God in the days that we live in? Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, what we learned tonight. And Lord, you told us in Your word, we're not to be fault finders. And yeah, they're going to be people that just get saved, and yet they don't understand it all yet. Oh God, let us be merciful. Let us be gracious. Let us help them be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, that You would do a mighty work in their life. For You have done a glorious work in our lives. So I'm praying that whoever's listening to this message, maybe, God is calling you back into the fold. Maybe you're out there wandering, and God is saying, hey, come back. I left the 99 to go get you. And so now I want you to come back. Maybe you were hurt and damaged by religious folks in your church that you attended. Now God is saying, just go back and allow God to heal your heart. Allow God to continue what He started in you. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ, and maybe this is the first time you're hearing a word of salvation. I'm here to let you know that God has been pursuing you since you were formed in your mother's womb. He has been chasing you, and now He has caught up with you, and now He's saying, turn to Me. Turn to Me. And so if that's you right now, God is saying, repent. Turn to Him. Bring all your cares and affairs. Bring everything. Bring all the junk in the trunk and lay it at His feet and allow Him to wash you and cleanse you by the Word of God, by the power of God, and by the blood of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that can take away your sin, is nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so if that's you listening right now, pray this simple prayer, and we're going to pray it with you. And it's a simple prayer. It goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow You and to honor You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in that house. Come on. Is He worthy? God is so worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.